Galatians chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, and verse 8, and we'll stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the privilege of being here this morning, assembling with your people. Thank you for the offering, for the missionaries. Thank you, Jesus, for those who are laboring on the fields. May your blessings be added to their work and labor. Father, I pray that you'd help us here this morning. We are engaged in a service right now that is critical to souls and that has the interest of heaven. And we are praying that your blessings would rest upon this meeting. Lord, may souls receive from God this morning what they stand in need of. And I pray that you'd help me as I attempt to minister your word. Lord, I consider this a sacred trust from the Lord. I ask you to help me, Jesus. I need your help this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to speak to you this morning with the help of the Lord on the poverty of idolatry. The poverty of idolatry. The overwhelming peril in the past, present, and future is the promise and poverty of idolatry. Something in the fallen nature of man inclines him to idolatry. According to Paul in Galatians 5 and 20, idolatry is a work of the flesh. It is a product of a polluted heart. Man's fallen nature is drawn to idolatry. If I remember right, maybe the longest of the Ten Commandments, I think, is the second one. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, any likeness of anything in heaven, in earth, or under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Idolatry is common to the history of mankind. It's described by Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse 25 simply as this: the worship of the creature more than the Creator. That is idolatry in a nutshell. The worship of the creature more than the Creator. It's the giving of an object, person, feeling, or an idea the allegiance and the adoration that's due to the Creator. So that some portion of the creation, whether it be a carved piece of wood, a shaped piece of gold, a revered nation, a family relationship, exalted self, a monetary fortune, or just some feeling such as pleasure, is valued above the God of the Bible. This is idolatry. And probably the most prominent expression of idolatry in the history of man is self-worship. Paul described the last days, the dangers of the last days, in writing to Timothy, and he said it would be perilous times and that men would be lovers of their own selves. This would be a mark of men in the last days. Arnold Toynbee, some of you educated folks may recognize this name. He was an eminent historian. And after surveying the span of human history, he declared that self-worship was the paramount religion of mankind. He asserted that this self-worship appeared disguised in many forms. Rarely do men acknowledge openly how much they value themselves. Did you hear me? I said, rarely do men openly acknowledge how much, how highly they value themselves. But an idolater who's enamored with his own self, which is really the essence of the sinful nature. It's a nature enamored with self. That person becomes their own king, lawgiver, and judge. This is the reason why in the book of Judges and in 2007, every man does that which is right in his own eyes. It is the result of idolatry. It's the result of the rejection of the God of the Bible. It is the result of men becoming their own judge, lawgiver, and king. Everybody does that which is right in his own eyes. Now I want to ask you this morning, are you a member of the largest religious cult in human history? Are you a member of that cult of people whose primary object of attention is yourself? So that your life revolves around your own interest. You are your own king, your own lawgiver, your own judge. It's easy to justify yourself in whatever you want to do when you are your own judge. When you reject the constitution of the people of God, which is the Word of God, that God has told us will be our judge. Brother, I want to ask you, do you belong to the most numerous religious cult in human history? Are you a worshiper of self? There are two aspects of idolatry that I want to bring to you this morning. First of all, that idolatry is due to deluded devotees. And secondly, that idolatry is due to deficient deities. Deluded devotees and deficient deities. First of all, let's look at the deluded devotees. I'm talking about idolatry. Idolatry is the result of intellectual ignorance. The Bible says in my text, when you knew not God, then you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. They didn't know God. They did not know the true and living God. And I'm telling you that men are incurably religious, so that if they do not know the true and living God, they are going to make them a god to worship. Ravi Zacharias, who is the international defender of the Christian faith, born and raised in India, and he tells of how he saw and experienced idolatry firsthand. I'm going to read you something he wrote. He said, one of my earliest memories is of an old man on my street, a mystic who wore only a loincloth. He was tall, with matted hair, piercing eyes, quite fearsome to look at. Mud was caked all over his bony frame. His face was scarred by deep gashes that were self-inflicted from his religious devotion. And his skin was burned by constant exposure to the torrid heat of the midday sun. How did he come to look like this, I wondered, as a boy? He said, I found out soon enough. Two or three times every week he would show up in the community. on the street. And then like a coiled rope unwinding, he would lie down in the street and begin his routine. Cow dung, dog droppings littered the street. Stones and sharp objects cluttered it as well. And he would roll the length of that street, howling as if the sound came out of the depths of a cavern, shouting the name of his God over and over again. It terrified little Ravi, and he would run to his mother and ask her, "What is the meaning of this? Why is this man doing this?" And his mother would tell him, "He's calling on his God." And did you know that that man represents multiplied millions in this world who are ignorant of the true and living God? This is the reason for idolatry, is intellectual ignorance of God. They know not the true and living God. And you and I sit here this morning as if it were nothing that we have the Bible in our hands and a testimony of the true and living God, and we know Him that created all things. Hallelujah. Michael Ridgway wrote in Focus on the Family magazine about his encounter with idolatry in Taiwan. Taiwan is the island nation off the coast of China, a breakaway from China. Taiwan has one of the largest concentrations of idol temples in the world. 11,000 dot the landscape of that country, which is about the size of Delaware. More than 340 deities rule the minds and hearts of those people in that country. Intelligent people. Advanced people. Technologically advanced people. Are y'all hearing me? You can see lotus-shaped lamps casting light on family altars through open doorways at night. In their dimly lit temples, wooden idols with painted faces are worshipped with incense smoke around the faces of these wooden idols. On the sidewalks, shop owners burn fake money trying to appease their gods, living in fear of their gods. They don't know a God who loves them. They don't know a God who sacrifices life for them. All they know is a God that they fear, that they seek to appease, that they're afraid of. Brother, this is the spiritual darkness of the world that you and I live in. It is a world full of idolatry and intellectual ignorance of God. But not only is idolatry due to intellectual ignorance, it's due to neglect of the true revelation of God. For the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, and became vain in their imaginations. And because they considered themselves wise, they became fools and turned the image of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, four-footed beast, and creeping things. So that these people who neglected the true revelation of God wound up with an ignorance of God. Brother, I'm telling you, the reason they lost it is because they didn't value it. The reason they lost the knowledge of God is because they didn't worship Him as God. I'm telling you, you didn't come here this morning just to sit on a pew. You come here to recognize the greatness of God and give glory and honor to the one who made you and redeemed you by his blood. And if we neglect to do that, brother, we are in danger, just like those people, of losing the valuable knowledge of God. They fail to glorify him as God. That's the reason why the Bible says in Hebrews 2:1, let us take heed unto the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, or we should drift away from them. You know, we don't want to take it for granted that we know God. We don't want to take it for granted that we have a revelation of God. When we pay little attention to his word, when we neglect to worship him, when we fail to seek him, darkness is just out there, and it's calling and appealing and pulling. And when we fail to give God the glory that's due unto his name, it is just a step from where we are back to where we came from. And we can lose the knowledge of God if we fail to value the knowledge of God. And then there is this delusion that's the result of willful rejection of the knowledge of God. Not just neglect, but willful rejection of the knowledge of God. And the Bible tells us concerning that generation in Romans chapter 1, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, so that their sentence was the result of their desire. The judgment of God was an answer to their own desires. They did not want to know God. They willfully rejected the knowledge of God, and God turned them over to a reprobate mind. The reason why these people did not want to retain the knowledge of God is because God got in the way of their immoral desires. He's going to get in your way too. It's going to get in your way too. The knowledge of the true and living God will get in the way of your lustful desires. And because God got in the way, they said, we don't want to deal with him. We don't want the knowledge of God. Man's moral weakness and his fleshly lust motivates him to redesign God to satisfy his own carnal cravings. When you know God, that holy God, that pure God, that God of power, that God of judgment, that God of love, when you know him and you reject him because he stands in the way of your carnal cravings, and listen, brother, it was a judgment of God upon them that God removed from them an understanding of himself and took away the restraints on their behavior. And of course, you know what happened as a result. They became a licentious society, full of homosexuality and lesbianism, unrestrained moral behavior, because of their rejection of the knowledge of God. Now, are y'all still here?
Yes, sir.
The Metropolitan Community Church, ever heard of it? Founded in 1968. A refuge for homosexuals who believe that homosexuality is consistent with biblical Christianity. Their founder, whose name is Troy Perry, wrote a book entitled, The Lord is My Shepherd and He Knows I'm Gay. In 1981, I want you to hear this. In 1981, that church was growing at the rate, this organization was growing at the rate of one new church per week. By 1998, it was reporting a membership of 44,000 people in 300 churches. The members of this church accept homosexuality as a gift from God. In other words, they willfully reject the true knowledge of God as revealed in Holy Scripture. So this is the delusion that we see in idolaters, intellectual ignorance, neglect of the true revelation of God, and a willful rejection of God's knowledge leads to this deluded mindset that idolaters makes people idolaters. But did you know this is the kind of ignorance that pervaded in the world when Paul began preaching the gospel? The Gentile world was full of idolatry and immorality of all kinds. And he began to preach to them with this commission from God, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And his purpose was to introduce them to the living God. He went to Athens where these people were worshiping God. They had temples on every corner to their idols. And Paul went there and said, "This unknown God whom you ignorantly worship, I'm going to tell you about him." Hallelujah. And he said to the church at Thessalonica, which was true of multitudes of people in that day, "You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." The gospel rescued people from idolatry. And I'm telling you, it still rescues people from idolatry. There are certain things, brother, that you'll do good to escape from. I always told preachers, old preachers tell the young preachers way back, that you got to escape the women and the wealth and the lust for power. Those three things. If one of them don't get you, they said, the other one will. Women, wealth, and the lust for power. And so, you know, there are certain things that we have to really be on our guard. And this is one thing that you must be on your guard against. It's idolatry. And brother, it can creep into your life before you realize what's going on. And when something becomes so important to you that it's more important than your worship of God, it's more important than your duties to God, it's more important than your relationship with God, then idolatry is forming in your heart and life, and you can do everything in the world to justify it and ignore what's going on in your life. But this is a danger to all of us. Idolatry is a danger to all of us. And every one of us here need to understand that idolatry is a delusion, and that all other gods are deficient deities. My text says they by nature are no gods. They cannot fill the God void in your life. There is no other God anywhere in the universe that can fill the God void in you. That hunger for divine fellowship can only be satisfied by one God. The God who has a son. Hallelujah. The God who loved you so good that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All other gods, hear me now, all other gods can only go with you so far. Your God may be your husband or your wife. There are some people whose attachment to relatives or to husbands and wives is abnormal. I have known people that way. And they put their family members above their relationship with God. And I'm telling you, whoever it may be, whatever it may be, there's only so far these gods can go with you. They cannot go with you beyond the boundary between this world and the next. They're going to have to hand you off at the threshold of death. And you're going to have to face the one true and living God and give an account for what you did in this life. There is no power in any other God to save you in the day of reckoning but this one true and living God who has a son and his name is Jesus. Praise God. And I'm telling you now, and I'm going to try to wrap this up, but this is a last day's danger, an increasing last day's danger, the danger of idolatry. For while the knowledge of the creation is increasing, the knowledge of the Creator is decreasing. And while our scientific knowledge is exploding, it's at the same time coexisting with spiritual ignorance. The Bible tells us in the last days, idolatry is going to be a prominent form of worship. In the book of Revelation, when the judgments of God are falling on this world, Revelation chapter 9 and verse 20, it says, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, of their sorceries, of their fornication, of their thefts. So that in the last days when judgments are falling on this world, there is an abounding system of idolatry in the world. And men refuse to forsake the idolatry. And the ultimate expression of that idolatry is found in Revelation 13, where we have the Antichrist, the last world ruler, and his false prophet. And the Bible tells us that the false prophet causes men to make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. He had power to give life unto that image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So that idolatry will be a prominent form of worship in the Antichrist kingdom in the last days. Now what reason I'm telling you that is this. It is a spirit that people entertain in their lives. And if you entertain the spirit of idolatry in your life, you are susceptible to the deception of idolatry, whatever form it may appear in your life. And God wants us to know Him. This is the antidote to the deception of idolatry, is knowing the true and living God. When you know Him and you're known by Him, praise God. You understand that all the other deities in this world are just paper tigers compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the one that sacrificed His life for you on an old rugged cross. Shed His blood to save you from your sins. When you're needing help, when you're needing salvation, when you're needing forgiveness of sins, when you're needing a covering in the judgment of God, there's only one answer, and that answer is Jesus Christ and the blood of the Son of God. And I'm telling you this morning, brother, that idolatry will leave you poverty-stricken spiritually. But when you give your heart and life to God, you'll find out that our God can both see and hear and act. Every idol may have eyes, but they cannot see. Have ears, but they cannot hear. Have feet, but they cannot walk. But I'm telling you about a God who has all power in heaven and in earth. He can hear when you call upon His name. He can see when you're in danger and in need. And our God has compassion and love for you. Praise God. Sometimes idolatry makes just as much sense as you creating a child out of wood and setting him in your house and going around hugging on that child and giving love to that child made out of wood. That child will never love you back, never speak to you, never do you any good. I'm telling you, that's exactly the poverty of idolatry. But when you worship the true and living God, He's living, He hears, He sees, He answers prayer. Hallelujah. He's involved in the life of His people. And God wants to bless you. And if you'll call on Him and trust Him and follow follow Him and commit your life to Him, you'll find out there's a God in heaven that loves you and can help you when you're standing in need. He'll be your protection in the day of judgment. He'll be your joy in the time of sorrow. He'll be your strength in the time of weakness. God will bless you when you give your heart and life wholly over to Him. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano this morning. And I want to ask you this morning, does everybody know who your God is? I mean, can everybody tell? Everybody that knows you, can they tell that you're devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is a competitor in your life? These people in Galatia had escaped idolatry, but they were going back to it. And Paul asked the question, why are you going back to that? Why are you going back to the beggarly elements of the world? You escaped from that. Why are you going back to that? You know, it's hard to understand. Really, it's hard to understand how the children of Israel come out of Egypt, loosed from their bondage, and in just a few days were saying, I wish I were back down there. And that was what was happening in Galatia. Is it happening to you? Now listen. When God brings you out of darkness into marvelous light, Brother Mike, and God delivered you from alcohol and set you free from that bondage, He blessed not only you, He blessed Kim, He blessed Michael, He blessed Judy. You can curse them by going back to where you came from. I'm telling you, when God set my dad free from the gambling table, from the beer joint, from the cussing and lying and cheating, He blessed not only my daddy, He blessed me. He brought him out of idolatry into the worship of the true and living God. He blessed me. I think it would be the height of criminal activity for me to take my family back to where God brought us from. And idolatry is a curse. Not only to you, it is a curse to future generations. Look at that society in Romans chapter 1, and you will see that those people who rejected the knowledge of God, willfully rejected the knowledge of God, plunged generations of their people into darkness, spiritual darkness. Idolatry is a particularly abhorrent form of sin to God. He said, I'm a jealous God. And He said, I visit the iniquity of the fathers. This is concerning idolatry now. I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. But I show mercy, hallelujah, unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you'll give yourself to God and live for Jesus and serve Him with all of your heart, you will bless future generations. You'll curse your family. You'll curse your country. If you follow the natural path of fallen human nature into idolatry and elevate something in your life above the loyalty owed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you this morning, if you're here and you're in bondage to idolatry, whether it be the worship of self or possessions or wealth or some idea or some person, I'm here to invite you to come out of that darkness and come into the light of the truth of the gospel
and find the blessing of the worship of the true and living God. Hallelujah. Do you reckon, I don't know, do you reckon that right here in this church in 2007, among an enlightened people, do you reckon that there could be idolaters sitting on these pews? Do you reckon that in this assembly right here, that there could be idolaters sitting on these pews? Are you an idolater? Have you given your whole heart to Him who gave His whole life to you? Or are you an idolater? I want us to stand together this morning. The Lord loves you. He wants you to know real peace, real joy, have real fulfillment in life. You can only have it when you submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Is your life submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ?